The law, it doesn't justify anyone. All it does is show us how sinful we really are. And that's going to be a sub-theme of Romans, by the way. What the law can do and what it can't do. The law cannot justify, he underlines it. What can the law do? It can only indict. It can only show us how sinful we are. And as he says in verse 19, that every mouth may be closed. That the whole world could become accountable to God. We live in a day when everybody's blabbering, you know? Our generation, we're if you're a slick talker, you can get away with an awful lot, can't you? And if you just keep talking, but there's coming a day when God's going to close every mouth. And the whole world is going to be accountable to God. That includes me and you. There is none righteous.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our study in the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, An Overview of the Gospel. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans is, I think, the best explanation of the gospel that we have. And I hope you've read it since our last look at it together. But let me encourage you to be reading it. And God has greatly used this book of Romans to grip lives, to grip my life. And my prayer is that he'll grip afresh and anew each of us with the gospel of his Son, the gospel of grace, as we look at Romans together. You know, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, the book of Romans says. And so as we approach any portion of Scripture, but particularly Romans, we can expect God to use it in our lives to build our faith, that we might grow and be more useful and more fruitful for him. And we need to cooperate in that process. God will use his word in our lives, but we need to cooperate. And by that I mean something I said last week. Don't miss the forest for the trees. The broad sweep of Romans is so important to see. And I want us to spend time, and you have to spend time in the book to begin to see it. And so I continue to encourage you to read it through in one sitting, if you possibly can. You can read it at a fairly slow pace. You can read it out loud in about 50 minutes. So just carve out an hour and get alone with the Lord. Ask him to use his word in your life and then read it. And do this repeatedly. And our times together in Romans will be so much more valuable. But whether you're a non-Christian, and if you are, if you're here and you're just looking into Christianity, this is a great place to look, the book of Romans. And I say welcome, and I would encourage you to start at the beginning and read through the book of Romans. If you're a new Christian, don't shy away from this book. I hear Christians sometimes say, well, that's pretty deep, it's hard. No, I start people. I had the privilege just this week of seeing a person pass from death to life, and I gave them a twofold assignment. Read John and read Romans chapter 3. And I encourage people to start with the great truths of the book of Romans. If you're a Christian, that you've been a Christian some time, and you'd like to be more fruitful, you'd like to be more effective, well, I encourage you to get a handle on Romans and get a hold of the truths that it teaches and teach them to others. Give it out to someone else. Use Romans in evangelism. Use Romans in follow-up. Use Romans in discipleship. Use the book of Romans. Get to where you can use it. And of course, all of us, no matter what age we are in the Lord, no matter where we're at in our pilgrimage with the Lord, why, we can expect God to cause us to rejoice afresh and anew as we really understand the word of his grace. I think of how Paul wrote to the Colossians. He said, I thank God for you because you've understood the word of God in truth. And that's what we want to do. We want to get a good understanding of it. Now, let me start at verse 1 and remind you that he said, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. That's the theme or the subject of Romans. The gospel of God. So when I speak of the gospel, I'm not merely speaking of just the bare necessities. I'm speaking of all the implications of the gospel, and its systematic presentation is the book of Romans. So you're going to talk about the good news from God, and it's humbling to man. It puts us in our place. It shows us how helpless, and not just helpless, but guilty we are before the righteous God. It glorifies God. It shows that only God could provide the salvation that he did. And it's, how could I put it? Can I say this? It's logical. You can understand the argument of the book. And it's meant to be understood. And so I pray that as we read it and as we study it together, we'll see the way it unfolds. But let's just walk through it. And what I'd like to do today is I'd like you to keep your Bible open. Be there at Romans 1:1 with me. And we want to walk through it and just watch the gospel unfold. And we'll do this by way of introduction. We're going to come back next time, Lord willing, and just move right into it verse by verse. But I want to walk through the book in a sweep, so to speak, and just let the gospel unfold from the book of Romans. Just let Romans kind of unpack itself. So as I said, verse 1, he's talking about the gospel of God. He doesn't waste any time. The good news of God. It was promised beforehand, verse 2, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel isn't something that was unattached. No, the whole of the Bible has pointed toward the fulfillment in Jesus Christ. So the gospel was promised beforehand, and the gospel, verse 3, concerns his son. Concerning his son, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. The gospel is all about the person of Jesus Christ. Now, as I mentioned last time, this is the most formal introduction that Paul ever writes to an epistle. And so we're going to see there's lots of truth on each phrase, even in the introduction. But he gives some personal remarks. And then look over at verse 14. He gives his own burden. 14, 15, and 16 under three little statements under the title, I am. He said, I'm under obligation, verse 14. I'm eager, verse 15. And I am not ashamed, verse 16. I am under obligation. I've got an obligation, he said, to proclaim the gospel to Jew and Gentile alike, to the wise and to the foolish. And I am not just under obligation, I am eager to proclaim the gospel. And then look at verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Let me read verse 16 and 17. I would take it if you wanted a thesis for the book. You know, what's he trying to say? Look at verse 16 and 17. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Now, he's going to say a lot about the gospel, and he's going to explain the gospel, but notice what he says in verse 16. It's the power of God. You want to get in touch with God's power, get a handle on the gospel of God. The power of God is the gospel of God. And notice his power is unleashed for what? For salvation. Good news. That's what gospel means. Good news. God's power was unleashed on our behalf. It's for salvation. The book of Romans is all about how a man can be delivered and saved from his sin. And who's it for? Well, look at verse 16. To everyone who believes. He's talking to everybody here in this room who will take him at his word. Will you believe God? You can have salvation. Will you believe God? You can be in touch with the power of God. The gospel is universal. It's not just for a select few. It's for whoever will believe in him. And then notice, in it, verse 17. I'm not ashamed of it. It's the power of God. For in it, in what? In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Now, he's not merely speaking of an attribute of God when he says this, although we're going to see plenty of God's righteousness, and it's an underlying theme of the book of Romans. But he's not merely speaking of just the righteousness of God. He's speaking of the righteousness of God that can be laid hold of by faith in Christ. That's his thesis. Look at the end of verse 17. He quotes the Old Testament. The righteous man shall live by faith. A man can be right with God through faith in Christ. Now, that's his introduction. Now he starts the great argument of Romans at verse 18. And this first section will go all the way over to chapter 3, verse 20. And basically, it is man's unrighteousness. Before he can begin, I picture Romans like a large building. And before he can erect the building or lay the foundation even, and he's going to lay a tremendous foundation in Jesus Christ. But before he can do that, he's got to excavate. He's got to clear away the site. Clear away the rubble, so to speak. And today, this is so important to see because many people aren't ready to hear of Jesus Christ as Savior because they haven't even cleared away and seen how sinful they are. And so Paul starts at 1:18 and goes all the way over to 3:20, showing man's unrighteousness. And so before he gets to the good news, he tells you the bad news. And it should prepare our hearts. Now let's just watch it. Verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Man, far from being righteous, is unrighteous. He uses the term twice in verse 18. Ungodly. And the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against unrighteousness. God is righteous. And his wrath must fall on unrighteousness. He's talking about the whole race. Verse 19. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Paul gets right to it. Man is so sinful and unrighteous, he's turned away from his knowledge of God, he is without excuse, he says, verse 20. For even though they knew God, 21, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Man, in arrogant unbelief, turns away from the knowledge of God. You see, the history of man is not man groping after God. It is man suppressing the truth that he knows and turning away from the light, turning away from God, and when he does, God lets him. God lets him. And the balance of this chapter says it three times. Look at verse 24, 26, and 28. Therefore, God gave them over. Verse 24. Verse 26. For this reason, God gave them over. Verse 28. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over. When a man turns away from God, God lets him. When the race turned away from God, God gave them over. And it's a sorry story, isn't it? I mean, look at verse 24. Gave them over to impurity. Verse 26, degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they didn't see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. When a man turns away from God, inevitably moral perversion comes in, and a degraded way of even thinking, and finally a depravity of mind. And verses 18 through 32, we don't have time to read them, but you read them. They're like right out of our headlines. They're right out of our culture today. When you look at what our world is getting into today, it's no surprise. In fact, ever since man turned away from God, the biblical history is a record of this kind of depravity. Inevitably, when you turn away from light, there is moral darkness, which inevitably turns to moral perversion, which inevitably leads to a depraved way of thinking. And that's what chapter 1 describes. Now, you might say to yourself, oh, that's an ugly description, but I have not been involved. I've avoided that gross unrighteousness that he describes. Even though it's been true through history, and even though I see it all around me today, I've avoided it. And you might still think of yourself as righteous. And so chapter 2, he begins by pointing out, no. In fact, let me just say, there's two ways that sin manifests itself, two great categories. One is in open rebellion, the chapter 1 kind of sin, just gross wickedness. And then there's that second category where men congratulate themselves on what they haven't done and what they do, and there's a subtle kind of self-righteousness that many people are involved in. And chapter 2 goes on to show that the righteous man, by man's standards, the one who keeps himself outwardly pure or moral or religious, is just as guilty as the gross sinner of chapter 1. So chapter 2, verse 1, therefore you are without excuse. Back in verse 20, it said, they are without excuse, speaking of the race. And some of us might say, yeah, they are guilty. They're without excuse. But look at verse 1. You are without excuse. Every man of you who passes judgment. And the first half of chapter 2, he shows the moralist to be guilty. And the second half, he shows the religionist to be guilty before God. And you can pick it up at verse 17. That's the breaking point. He says, but if you bear the name Jew, and he uses the Jew as the example, but it would apply to those who have their religion and call themselves religious and right with God because of their religion. He says, no. And in chapter 2, he outlines several, I would say 6 or 7 or even more, great underlying principles of God's righteous judgment against sin. And God's judgment is according to truth. It's without partiality, verse 11. And ultimately, it is completely comprehensive. Look at verse 16. On the day when, according to my gospel, now this is according to the gospel, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. There will be nothing hidden from his eyes. Now, he moves right into chapter 3, and he summarizes verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. And then he lets the scripture, the Old Testament scripture, indict the race. He says, listen, are we setting ourselves up as righteous? You know, a lot of people think of Christianity as that, a bunch of self-righteous religious people. But he says, are we better than they? No way. We've already charged the Jew and Greek. This is a racial indictment. And let the scripture, I'll take the time to read it. Look at verse 10 and just read the Old Testament quotes that Paul brings to bear here. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they've become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace have they not known. And then he summarizes, and I think this is the worst statement in the whole list, verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. He's talking about every one of us. And then he states a very important statement, verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Showing man's unrighteousness, he then mentions the law and he says, listen, the law, it doesn't justify anyone. All it does is show us how sinful we really are. And that's going to be a sub-theme of Romans, by the way, what the law can do and what it can't do. The law cannot justify, he underlines it. What can the law do? It can only indict. It can only show us how sinful we are. And as he says in verse 19, that every mouth may be closed. That the whole world could become accountable to God. We live in a day when everybody's blabbering, you know? Our generation, if you're a slick talker, you can get away with an awful lot, can't you? And if you just keep talking, but there's coming a day when God's going to close every mouth. And the whole world is going to be accountable to God. That includes me and you. There is none righteous. Now, someone put it this way, and I like this. Having closed man's mouth, the Holy Spirit can now open God's heart. Verse 21, the good news. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God. Now that's his theme. Now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The Old Testament, verse 21, promised it. And the New Testament, verse 22, unfolds it. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. And the next 10 verses give one of the best explanations of this great truth of justification in all of Scripture. And I, even as I look at my Bible, chapter 3 and 4, you know, land on the same page. And I'll tell you what, it ran through my mind this week. If I just laid this on the Xerox machine and just had that sheet, I'd have so much. You know, if you just had chapter 3 and 4 as it lays on my Bible there, just to mull over and meditate with, and use to tell others.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled An Overview of the Gospel, a message from our series in the book of Romans. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. If you don't have a church home in the area, we'd like to invite you to join us for our outdoor summer services. Coming this August 14th at 5 p.m., join us for our International Night. The field will be covered with booths representing tasty foods from all over the world. The event will be followed by our outdoor evening service at 6 p.m. For more information about the International Night or any of our summer events, go over to our website at swbible.org, or you can call the church at 503-524-7000. We hope to see you there. We're continuing to see new growth in the Romans Project on the continent of Africa. Recently, we've added the countries of Guinea, Mali, Togo, and Ivory Coast to the ever-expanding outreach of the project. We'd like to invite you to learn more about this ministry or become a partner with us as we minister to pastors and church leaders throughout Africa. Just navigate over to romansproject.org or connect with us at facebook.com/romansproject. Downtown Bible only remains on the air through the generous contributions of listeners like you. we'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider partnering with us on a regular basis to help us meet our day-to-day expenses. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
Adam's one sin brought condemnation. Christ's one act of righteousness, the cross, brings justification. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. And the great ending of this section is this. He says, grace reigns. The law came in that transgression might increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. I don't care how much sin you've committed, God's grace will abound all the more. That as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings part two of the message titled, An Overview of the Gospel. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.